the new year provides us with an opportunity to take a step back and to reevaluate all the little details of our lives. We might take a moment to reconsider those things that we value, those things that we might want to change. We might revisit past disappointments or decide to pursue new dreams. The popular American tradition has been to make resolutions, to take a yearly oath that this will be the year that we accomplish that one pesky thing that we've always found elusive. The problem with resolutions is that they just don't have any power. Whether we're making personal resolutions to pursue better life habits, or Congress is making a resolution to limit presidential power, resolutions are just gestures. They're generally aspirational and sometimes hopeful, and they allow us to vocalize our values or our fears, but ultimately, they are just sentiments. They have no power to transform or to govern. The process of making resolutions is instructive, though. It asks us to sort through our lives and identify things, at least passively, as being either sacred or mundane. A peaceful world, a quality education for our children, maybe a good cup of coffee, all sacred. The way that I experience my coworkers, or maybe some of my neighbors, or even people in need, is too often to see them as being mundane. When we parse through our lives, and we at least implicitly label things as unimportant or blasé, we are assigning value, and in many cases, no value, to the different people or natural places that we cross paths with in our daily lives. The modern trap of making resolutions or assigning value to things is that increasingly our curated list of the sacred ends up looking a lot like those things that we enjoy, or those ideas that we agree with, or those people who fit nicely into our lives. I'm certainly guilty of this myself. Modernity has made this far too easy. We can easily create our own sacred worlds, full of the books and food and commentators and people that fit our own personal definition of what's sacred. And everything else is just mundane or maybe disordered or irrelevant. In our own sacred worlds, we can keep our distance from those mundane or maybe even profane things in our communities or our culture, especially those people and things that don't really fit easily into the structure or the preferences of our own lives. In the church, the new year leads us into the season of Epiphany. During Epiphany, we reflect on the life of Jesus and his ministry. Traditionally, on the first Sunday of the Epiphany, we recall one of three stories from the Gospels. The story of the wedding at Cana, where Jesus turns water into wine. The story of the Magi, where the Magi journeyed to visit Jesus in Bethlehem. Or the story we heard this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, recalling Jesus' baptism in the River Jordan. These stories all capture and reflect a different image of Jesus and his life in the world. They each involve a story that addresses an aspect of everyday life. Things that the modern world could easily see as being mundane. The birth of a common child, the blunder of hosting a wedding feast with no wine, or the text we read this morning from Matthew recalling Jesus' own baptism. In each instance, the profane elements of life become miraculous and sacred. The common child turns out to be the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Water turns to wine. And a standard baptismal event is upended with God's Spirit descending like a dove, making Jesus' own baptism sacred. Interestingly, the record of Jesus' baptism is one of the few accounts of Jesus' life that appears in all four Gospels. This seems to be an indication of the story's significance. The church has always recognized Jesus' baptism as important, but even for the early church, the theological significance of Jesus' baptism was an area of discomfort. Was there any theological significance to the event? Or was Jesus' baptism just another example of Jesus merely participating in the normal, ordinary cultural and religious habits of his day? Jesus was, after all, the Son of God. Why would he need to subject himself to a ritual that was instituted as a mechanism for repentance? Gregory of Nazianzus, one of the early bishops of Constantinople and a noted scholar of his time, thought that Jesus' baptism was actually an unspoken reversal and that Jesus was actually baptizing John. John Chrysostom, another bishop of Constantinople, wrote that the theological importance of Jesus' baptism was not that Jesus needed to be baptized, but that Jesus was actually purifying and sanctifying baptismal water for all future baptisms. Both of these theological ideas may be plausible, but it seems that Jesus' baptism is telling us something about the Holy Spirit turning the mundane into the sacred. Human beings becoming children of God. In Matthew's account of Jesus' baptism, John the Baptist finds the very idea of baptizing Jesus to be absurd. John considers refusing and suggests that Jesus should be baptizing him. But Jesus tells him, no, let it be so, for it's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. The Gospel of Matthew goes on to record that just as Jesus came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened, and Jesus saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on his head. And a voice came from heaven and said, you are my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Somehow, an event that John the Baptist thought would be unnecessary, if not ineffectual, became sacred. This seems to signal that some of our instinctual ideas about what might be sacred and what might be mundane are limited to those things that we might find logical or predictable or comfortable. Seeing the sacred and the unpredictable and the unfamiliar or the unwanted can defy our common sensibilities and our intuitions. The baptism of Jesus, Jesus turning water into wine, the wise men visiting a common child only to find the Messiah, all signal that God can make the unpredictable and mundane things in life sacred. The image of the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus after his baptism and naming him as God's beloved is also found in the Hebrew Scriptures. The prophet Isaiah wrote, here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my Spirit upon him, and he will bring justice to the nations. Isaiah was writing about his hope that the Messiah would reunite God's dispersed people, that the Messiah would bring peace, justice, and prosperity to the Promised Land. In Jesus' baptism, the sacred and the mundane collide. And that long-standing prophetic hope for justice and mercy, for peace and prosperity for all people, is directly injected into all the details of our everyday lives. Today, the first Sunday after the Epiphany, the feast of the baptism of our Lord is one of the Sundays during the liturgical year appointed for baptisms. This morning, we reflect on our own baptisms. The story from Matthew reminds us that we too are offered a sacred identity, a communal identity as God's children. We'll recite the baptismal covenant, which serves as an oath of sorts, a resolution that we profess to remind ourselves and one another that we are God's people, that we have a sacred calling in this world, an identity and a purpose that we all receive at our baptism. Our baptism calls us to be God's ambassadors of mercy and justice, ambassadors of God's peace and love. This isn't a calling that we only fulfill during those curated, self-selected, sacred moments, but instead, Jesus' baptism and our own reminds us that God is always with us, that the world is a sacred place, full of sacred people and sacred places. The baptismal covenant will remind us that our calling as a community is to continue to follow in Jesus' teaching, to resist evil to proclaim the good news by word and example, to serve Jesus and all persons, to love our neighbors, to strive for justice and peace among all people, and to respect the dignity of every human person. That's a serious resolution, a worthwhile resolution, and a daunting resolution. This calling requires our whole selves. It requires us to rely on one another, and it requires that the Holy Spirit would descend on and inspire each one of us, putting the sacred and the mundane on a collision course in our own lives, fundamentally changing the way that we think about what might be sacred and what might be mundane. This new orientation challenges us to consider that there is no mundane. Every person that we encounter in this transitory life is sacred, including those people whom we love and are loved by, those friends with whom we share interests and ideas, and those neighbors and others who might not fit neatly into our lives, people with whom we might disagree with about important things, people whom we might perceive as being different. The English writer C.S. Lewis once wrote that he believed in Jesus and God's love in a similar way that he believed that the sun rises in the east. Not only because I can see it, he wrote, but because by it I can see everything else. Jesus calls us to see the world differently. During this season of the Epiphany, let us resolve to find the sacred, to see the image of God in all people. Amen.